Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's this famous choice that God lays before his people in Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is before they're entering the promised land, and they have been wandering, so to speak, in the wilderness. They've had their experience with disobedience. That's something they have. They've had long experience with disobedience, and they've seen the fruit of disobedience. And then, of course, they've also seen the fruit of obedience here. But is this choice that God lays before his Old Testament people in Deuteronomy chapter 30 simply about their obedience or their disobedience? They know what it means to disobey this God who has led them in the wilderness, who has delivered them from slavery in Egypt. They know what that means. But is that all this is? Simply, don't disobey me or else? We're going to continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning the middle verses, the choice between life and death. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
If we read this account here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 apart from Christ, what's the danger?
Well, just like all the passages of the Old Testament scriptures, and as you pointed out before, even the New Testament scriptures, if we don't realize that we have this corrupt nature, that we are fallen humanity, and that we need a redeemer, one who is incarnate, who takes upon our humanity in order to restore us, then we're just left with pure moralism. It's just, all it is about a decision. It's about a choice. So you read this passage, and Moses says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." And he goes on in verse 19 and says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live." You see, if this is just merely an exercise, an intellectual decision, or an act of the will, well, then the choice is easy. Who wants to choose death? So you choose life, not death. You choose good, not evil. You choose blessing and not curse. But then again, if that's the case, then really, why would we even need Christ in this passage, let alone in any passage of the Scripture? In fact, to add fuel to the fire, if you read the whole of chapter 30 and you go throughout it and you see that Moses also says, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, then you shall live. And so again, why would you need Christ if you could just decide to, well, I'll go ahead and I'll obey whatever God says. I'll just do it. It's that simple. I mean, to add even more fuel to the fire, if you keep looking at chapter 30, you see Moses who says, this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Just tell us, Moses, what we need to do and we'll do it. Just do it. That just seems to be the issue here. And there's no problem at all. As long as Moses tells you what needs to be done, well, you can do it. But again, why would we need Christ in this passage or any other passage for that matter if all you had to do is just hear what Moses said and just do it?
Take us into the context here, because we actually have to go, as you say, back to Deuteronomy 18, to some earlier chapters, to set the broadest context in the book of Deuteronomy for what we find here in chapter 30. What is it?
Yeah, so when we look at the scriptures, we always want to know what the intention of the author is. What is the author trying to communicate to us? And throughout scripture, there's a continuity that God wants to deliver to us the knowledge of salvation. And so if you look at the book of Deuteronomy as a whole, I would zero in chapter 18, where Moses declares to the people, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. So this is the apex of what Moses is delivering to us in this whole book of Deuteronomy. So any chapter, any verse has to be connected to this theme of what Moses is trying to declare. He's declaring to them the promise of salvation, and that promise will be found in the prophet who is raised up like him. In other words, one from among our own flesh, one of our brothers, one who will take upon our corrupted nature, but of course without sin, so that he can restore it.
So if we understand that there is Christ looming in the book of Deuteronomy, how do we understand everything that's kind of intervened here? Because the book of Deuteronomy is, I mean, even its title, a reiteration of the law. What do we do with it?
Well, again, when we're talking about God's word, this is synonymous with the Torah, the instruction. And oftentimes we just translate it as law, and then we think in a simplistic way that it just means what you are to do or what you can't do. But instead, really, what it is it's God's word, which is it's his instruction, and he's the instructor. It's God's teaching, and he's the teacher. So he's the one that teaches us the knowledge of salvation. And so in the process of teaching us the knowledge of salvation, first he's going to expose our need for salvation, and then, of course, he's going to give to us the answer, the one who will take upon our flesh and blood to restore it, so that we will be brought into union with God and he will bring this kingdom. And so throughout the book of Deuteronomy, this is a reiterating that the people have been redeemed by Yahweh out of slavery in Egypt, and now they're heading into the promised land, the land of the promise that's been given to Abraham. And of course, when Abraham believed the promise given to him, he believed, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness.
So this is, we're talking about the righteousness that man thinks he can achieve by mere obedience. That's why this can't be a choice between obedience and disobedience, and the righteousness that God gives based on faith.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be good to distinguish between a righteousness that's based on the law and a righteousness that's based on faith. And so this is the teaching that we have throughout the Old and the New Testament scriptures. And of course, to understand this distinction, this righteousness based on the law is this idea that all I have to do is just hear what needs to be done, and I can do it. I can do it on my own accord. Just tell me, and I'll do it. Versus the righteousness that's based on faith, it hears the promise, of course, that's fulfilled in Christ, who he alone can do all that God requires, because he alone will not have this corrupted flesh. And then he will die in our stead, and then he will restore our flesh as we're united into him. And so you have a distinction throughout the scripture between what Paul will call a righteousness based on the law and a righteousness based on faith. Now, we see Paul talking about this in Romans chapter 10. And so Paul will talk about this, saying it this way. He says, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Now, this is in Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And so, in other words, what Paul is saying is, here Moses is making a distinction. Moses is saying, a righteousness based on the law is the one that's just saying, just tell me what I need to do, and I'll just go ahead and do it. That's this kind of an idea, that it's a simplistic view, that if you just have a list of things I need to do, I can accomplish it. And so Paul will expand on this, of course, in Galatians chapter 3, where he will say in verse 10, for all who rely on the works of the law, so this is this righteousness of the based on the law, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, this is interesting. When Paul does this, is Paul is referring to Deuteronomy, both in Romans chapter 10 and in Galatians chapter 3. And so in Romans chapter 10, he's referring back to our passage here. And in Galatians chapter 3, he's referring to Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, 29, and 30, and he splices this all together because he reemphasizes this idea that Moses gave to us, that if you do not do what is written, you are under a curse. So this idea of a righteousness of the law, of just tell me what to do and I'll do it, well, the problem is that kind of righteousness shows that you can't and that you're now under a curse.
Does that mean that Moses and Paul are teaching two different things?
Yeah, and that might be that somebody may think that, well, these are two completely different teachings, that Moses is all about the law and Paul is all about grace and the gospel. And so they're in contradistinction to each other. People try to pit them against each other. But it couldn't be further from the truth, because Paul himself will constantly, just like the rest of the apostles and like Jesus too, they will say, they're not teaching something new as a new religion, something of a different God and a different way to have salvation, but they will constantly say, we teach the same thing that Moses taught. The problem is the Pharisees in their day were teaching different than Moses taught. So that's why, for instance, Jesus, when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, the pastors and the teachers, he'll say to them in John chapter 5, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, you will not believe my words. How can you do it? And so Jesus will also say in John chapter 7, has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you does it. None of you does the law. And so why do you seek to kill me? And that's in John 7, verse 19. Or like in John chapter 8, Jesus will say, I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. The one that Moses talked about, the one that Moses said would come, and the one we are to listen to.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of February, we continue our series with him on Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the choice between life and death. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit, or call 218-724-2500.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission at ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing Christ in the Old Testament, our weekly series with him on Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's see what Mike has to say. He listens in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin, and I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource, and thank you for being on the program, Pastor Cachemire. You're one of my favorites. And I wanted to ask you particularly, and I don't mean to put you pastors on the spot, because I know you can't be expected to remember every Greek and Hebrew word that you learned. I mean, that would be impossible for any theologian to do. But I wanted to ask you specifically, Pastor Cachemire, you mentioned, for example, Deuteronomy 30:10, unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this. The word keep there, this is would be from the ESV translation, I believe. The word keep comes from the Hebrew word shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R. And if I look at the definition of that in my Briggs lexicon, the definition of shamar does really not include obey. The definition of shamar more times than not means to communicate, preserve. The word for obey is actually shama, S-H-A-M-A, and that is also used in the Old Testament, but however, it's not used here. So my question to you, Pastor Cachemire, is the difference between obey and preserve. This really seems to be the difference between law and gospel, almost. I wonder if you had a comment on that.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. Pastor Cachemire.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, this word shamar is to keep. It's to treasure. And so this is the word that you would cling to, you would hold on to. So this is shamar, which we sometimes translate as to guard, to keep, to cling to hold on to. So you definitely want to hold on and cling to God's word. But to clarify, the word shema is the word that's usually translated as obey. And that's the one that actually gets us into trouble, because the word shema literally means to hear. And so this is why you have the shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. It's a shema Yisrael. Okay? So it's hear. And so this idea of shema is actually to hear, to listen to God. And we get confused when in our English translations, they're always translating it as obey, as if you are obedient in every point of what God declares to do or not to do, and if you don't, you're toast. But really, this word shema is the word that's really gospel, because this is to hear, to listen to what he says. And so this is the same idea with Jesus when in Deuteronomy 18, that you would listen to him. God will raise up a prophet for you, and you shall listen to him. Same thing happens in the New Testament when you have the word, the Greek word akouo, which usually typically is translated as obey, but really is akouo is to hear, or hupakouo, to be under hearing, so that you continue to listen. And that's the whole idea of being God's people, that you walk in his light where you hear his voice. And this is the issue that's happening at chapter 30, is the people are not listening. They're not hearing God. So the righteousness of the law is this idea, oh, just tell me what I got to do and I'll just do it. Well, if you're really listening, you're going to understand that you really can't do it. Because, in fact, the very next chapter in 31, Yahweh will tell Moses, these guys are going to go after false gods. Well, in chapter 30, Moses, in our text, is actually saying, don't go after false gods. And, you know, it seems, oh, well, that's simple. We'll go in the promised land. I have the true God. I'm a believer. No problem. But in the very next chapter, God said, they will follow after false gods. Because the issue really is a matter of the heart. And the only way that the heart can be changed is through the hearing of the word. And so this is why Paul will say, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Because that's the means through which the Holy Spirit is given, and it's the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works to create in us a new heart.
That goes very nicely with a passage that you've alluded to already here, and that's Romans chapter 10, this whole notion of hearing and faith coming by hearing. Take us there, if you would.
Well, yeah, so again, what Paul is saying is he's saying we're teaching in continuity with the prophets. So this isn't a cacophony. This is a symphony. We're singing the same song. And so here, Paul quotes Moses by saying, here Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law. And then in verse 6, he says, and likewise, Moses writes about the righteousness based on faith. And so now he quotes Moses and says, Moses writes, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Now, this is a very this is a quick little shift of gears here that Paul's making that you might not understand on the top level here. But what Paul is doing is he's splicing together the whole context of the book of Deuteronomy. See, he's quoting from chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, where our text is, but he's also quoting from chapter 9. Because it's back in chapter 9 where Moses says, do not say in your heart. So he's quoting from chapter 9 all the way to chapter 30 so that we get the teaching of Moses on the righteousness that's based on faith. Because it was back in Deuteronomy 9 where Moses says, do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, that it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, where it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord has driven out before me. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going into the possess this land, but it's because of the wickedness of these people that the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and that it may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So this is Deuteronomy 9, verses 4 and 5. That's what we're not supposed to say in our heart, that it's because of my righteousness. That's a righteousness based on the law, saying, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But the righteousness based on faith hears. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. So it listens to the promise, the word that was sworn by God by oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is the promise tied to the promised land, that Abraham, of course, himself believed and was reckoned as righteousness, and all then who believe are sons of Abraham who are also reckoned as righteousness. Because in this land, this is where the incarnation will take place, born in Bethlehem, crucified in Jerusalem.
So the choice of Deuteronomy 30, is it a choice between obedience and disobedience, or between this righteousness that we seek on our own, the righteousness that God gives in Christ, and is it really our choice that is made by the force of our own intellect or will?
Yeah, this whole understanding of choice, even in Deuteronomy, you got to go back to Deuteronomy 7, where it's made very clear to the people, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. So this whole idea of electing or choosing is God who does this. He chooses you to be his people. And so he chooses to take you out of slavery in Egypt. He chooses to redeem you. He chooses to give you life. And now he gives you this life, and now you have this life. And so really you have the life, and really if you want to boil it down theologically, the choice you have is death. And so you already have the light because you're in God's presence there. You have his word. And so really your choice is to choose evil, is to choose wickedness, is to choose to not hear his voice, but to seek after other gods. And so this is why this is all a matter of the heart. And so God chooses us, and then, of course, we become his people. God is holy, and he makes us holy. And so all of this is a gift from God. It's God's doing, and it's our receiving. In fact, Jesus himself is the one who chose death. See, we can't even choose life by nature, and he, as being God who's eternal, can't choose death by nature, but he takes upon our human nature so that he can die, and then, of course, he lives, to bring us back into union and fellowship with God, to live forever, that we may have life.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about the Holy Lord in Leviticus 19. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
One of the things that makes every book of the Old Testament, the thing that makes every book of the Old Testament clearer by far, especially even unclear books, like, say, the Book of Job that we think we understand, but if you actually get down and read the thing, it leaves you terribly confused. The thing that cuts through all of the confusion, all of the difficulties of that difficult book, is to understand that it is there, that Job is there to testify of Christ. This is what Jesus means when he says, "It all testifies of me." I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal that you can have absolutely free. It's called Job and Not in Four Not So Easy Steps, Some Simple Guides to Find Christ in the Book of Job, even that difficult book. You can subscribe for free to the Issues Etc. journal by going to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button. Click on that, enter your email address, and we will send you absolutely free the online Issues Etc. journal, my journal article on the Book of Job, and an article by Ross Johnson on Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret. All they're absolutely free. issuesetc.org. Look for that big red button. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Peter Kurowski about a Christ-centered marriage, and then Monday we'll discuss the holiness and love of God with Dr. David Wells. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.